A guten Erev Shabbos, everyone. I once heard a humorous story, maybe not so humorous, about a doctor with not the best bedside manner who told his 26-year-old patient who had come for his annual checkup, he said to him, "You're going to die." And the young man was aghast. He was flabbergasted. He said, "What? What's the matter? I'm feeling fine. What do you mean by that? What happened?" And the doctor explained, "No, nothing. Nothing's wrong with you at all. You're in perfectly good health. But, you know, everyone's going to die, so, you know, you'll die too one day." Needless to say, that young man was not particularly thrilled with his doctor and with his sense of humor. In this week's parsha, Parshas Vayechi, we see a statement that we could almost breeze right by because it seems so common to us, but it's actually something that's quite newsworthy. The pasuk says, "Vayhi acharei hadvarim ha'ela, vayomar li Yosef, hine avicha chole." Yosef was told, "Your father has become ill." Vayikach hashnei banav imo, es Menashe ve'es Ephraim, and he takes his two children with him to go see his father. And that seems quite normal to us, but the truth of the matter was, it was actually something that had never happened before. The Medrash explains to us that Avram Avinu brought a change into the Teva of the world. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring upon a person Zikna, old age, that he should look aged. And he told Hashem what would be, you know, Adam Uvno Nichnasim Lamakom, you have a man and his son entering a place, Ve'en Adam Yodeh Lemi Mechabed, and a person wouldn't know who deserves more honor, because you can't tell the difference between a father and a son. They both look the same. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to Avraham Avinu, that you're saying good. He said, "Chayecha, davar tov tavata, you're demanding a good thing here. Umemcha ani maschil, I'm going to start with you." And that's taka what we see from the beginning of the Sefer of Bereishis. We do not see this concept of zikna. And only now we have the Avraham zakein uva bayamim, that Avraham becomes old and he looked aged. It was something that he had brought into the Teva. Yitzchak took it a step further. Yitzchak asked Hashem for Yisurim, and he told Hashem, "Hashem, if a person does not do any suffering in this world, then what will be? If a person doesn't have Yisurim of the guf in this world, then it's going to come, the Midas Hadin after his death is going to be so much stronger. Better he should have Yisurim in this world." And Hashem agreed with that assessment, and he said, "Chayecha, davar tov tavata, you're demanding something good. Umemcha ani maschil, I'm going to start with you." And we see taka, bet Yitzchak in his old age, vayihi zaken Yitzchak, vatechera einav, he became blinded. And he was the first one to suffer Yisurim. Yaakov took it another step further, and Yaakov said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it's not enough that a person should just look older when they get older, but they should have more warning time in advance of their death that they're about to die, and he asked for Choli to precede death. He said a person should first become ill so that this way he should be clued in that his end is near, and that this way he could settle his affairs, he could wrap up whatever he needs to get wrapped up, he could settle things amongst his sons, and just have that ability to have closure and not just all of a sudden die without any warning. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed with his assessment as well and said the same thing, "Chayecha davar tov tavata umemcha ani maschil." And we see that Yaakov was the first one who became ill before he passed away, and that's why they were telling Yosef, "Hinei avicha choleh," the first time we come across this concept. This is so startling to us. We live in a world where there is so much emphasis on looking young and staying young. It's probably a billion-dollar industry working on, anti-aging creams and dyes and whatnots, facelift surgeries, and we all are trying so hard to fight aging. It's something that we try to keep away from. So why was it that our avos made the requests they made? What was it that compelled them to make these requests? And what's clear to all of us is because if a person is aware why they are here in this world, it makes all the difference. Because if I'm just here for my physical well-being, then I would never ask for something like that. But if I have complete crystal clarity of this world being a passageway to the next world, which is what, of course, the Avos knew with absolute clarity, then we know the most important thing is Olam Haba, and their greatest priority, therefore, was what benefits my neshama, what is best for me in the long term. It's interesting, I remember hearing from Rabbi Franz that he had heard a newscaster commenting about an airplane that had exploded in the air, and the newscaster was, you know, looking at, quote-unquote, the bright side of things, and he was saying, Thank heaven they never knew what hit them. You know, when a bomb goes off on an aircraft at 30,000 feet, there's no time to think. They're just dead in an instant. They never had a chance to think, yikes, I'm about to die. They were spared the pain and the anguish of looking death in the face. Boom, they were dead, just like that. While that's certainly a perspective, it's not a Jewish perspective. We understand and we know that as sometimes upsetting, frightening, that illness and disease and how painful it is, it does allow a person to have that perspective and allows them to evaluate their priorities and to prepare themselves for the next world. It allows for cheshbon hanefesh, for tshuva, repaying of debts, etc. I remember quite clearly several years ago when my sister-in-law was very, very ill with a terminal illness that did take her life. And I was sitting with her in the ICU, and it was a very, very challenging time. And I remember Mrs. Laurie Gutman, Allah Hashalom, walked in to visit us. And Mrs. Gutman herself was battling advanced stage of cancer. And you wouldn't know it looking at her. She always was beautifully made up, with the most beautiful smile on her face, always with such a serene aura about her. And when she walked in, I couldn't help but start crying. My sister-in-law was barely responsive at the time. And I said to her, Laurie, how do you do it? I don't know. How do you do it? How do you keep smiling? How do you keep your head up? And she said to me in her beautiful, sweet voice, she said, Blumi, you know, we're all going to die someday. Some of us have the gift of knowing how valuable our life is. And she gave me such a perspective that I had never thought of before. I can't tell you it made it easier what we were experiencing, but it gave me perspective and an appreciation for her words and what the message she was giving over. We see another concept of understanding what our priorities are in this parasha. When Yaakov shows that he really knew what was important. When Yosef came to Paro to request to bury his father in Eretz Yisrael, he said the following to Paro. He said, Avi hishpiani leimar, hine anochi meis bekevri asha karisi li be'aretz Kanan, shama tikbereini. He says, my father made me promise, he made me swear, telling him, because he said, I bought a plot of land, I bought a kever in Eretz Kanan, and that's where I want you to bury me. So then he asked Paro, Vata elena ve'akbaras aviva ashuva, let me go and bury him, please, and then I'll come back. And it was an interesting lesson that Yosef was quoting, that Yaakov had said, that he said, Bekivri asher karisili, in this kever that I had bought, but karisi is not the typical word for buying, kanisi would be more typical. And what Rashi explains, that the word kri comes from the Aramaic of dagur, of making a, he explains it as dagur in Aramaic, which means pile. That Shenatal Yaakov kol kesef v'zahav shehavimi beis lavan. What happened was is that Yaakov took all the silver and gold that he had with him from the beis lavan, and v'asausu kri, he like just dumped it in a pile. V'amar le'esav, and he said to Esav, tolzeh, take it, b'shvil chalkach ma'ara. He bought off Esav's portion of the ma'ara with this pile of money that he had. And it's so fascinating because from what we know of Yaakov, it seems so out of character. Yaakov, you know, was always so careful with his money and the way he even got the money in the first place, and with the whole manipulations with Lavan. And we know that when it came to leaving the Pachim Katanim, he went back to get it. And all of a sudden, you see him taking all his money and just dumping it for the Ma'ara. I mean, negotiate. You know, start off with a low bid, and then, you know, Esau will give his counter bid, and then you'll come to a compromise. But why just dump it in a pile? What the Mefarshim explain is that when Yaakov had returned from Paddan Aram, it says, Vayira Yaakov Ma'od. He was going to be meeting Esav, and he was terrified. Why was he so scared? The Medrash explains is that while he was away from his home for 20 years, he knew that he had been unable to do two mitzvos that Esav was able to fulfill. He had not been able to do Kibbutz of Ein, and he was not able to fulfill the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, both of which Esav was able to accomplish. So Yaakov wants to make a demonstration of how intensely dedicated he was to both of these mitzvos. How could he show that he loved Eretz Yisrael tremendously and also greatly esteems his parents? Through this one action, he clearly showed both where his priorities lay. He said, all my money, it's not worth it to me, but this is, he dumped it all down to say, I want to use this money to buy myself a kever in Eretz Yisrael right next to my parents, because that's what's important to me, my parents and Eretz Yisrael. He showed where his priorities lie. This theme surfaces throughout the parsha in terms of knowing our priorities and knowing what we're all about in the way Yaakov gives brachos to his children. And it doesn't sound much like a bracha. It sounds more like a description. You're an ox, you're a lion, you're a wolf, and giving them muster. But what he was showing them is know who you are. Know what you could be accomplishing in this world. Make sure you're using your time here to fulfill your potential in life. Don't squander your abilities. You're a lion, you're a this, you're an ox. Use the kochos that you have to fulfill your mission in this world. The Zohar says that when a person is about to pass away, his neshama lets out a primal scream that can be heard in a spiritual sense from one end of the world to the other, because Hashem shows the neshama what it was supposed to accomplish in this world during its stay in Olam Hazeh. And when the soul realizes it's about to pass on and he's still so far from fulfilling its mission, it screams in anguish over its failure to accomplish its task. Hashem sends a person to the world with the tools, props, and characters to help himself perfect himself spiritually. Unfortunately, many people fall short of that. In this parasha, we come across two individuals who not only fulfilled their potential, but they actually exceeded it. They were born as just second generation children of a Shevet, but they reached the level of the Shiftei Ka. Both Ephraim and Menashe became considered part of the Shvatim. And when we give the special bracha to our children, we say, "B'chayi v'reich Yisrael yisimcha l'kim k'Ephraim u'k'Menashe." We're benching them that they too should merit to meet or exceed their potential, and that their souls should never scream that scream. This week has been a challenging week for many of us. Asar B'Teves felt very, very real for many of us who experienced different tragedies this week. It certainly helped us reevaluate and really think about why are we here? What are we supposed to be accomplishing? Am I doing what HaKadosh, using the tools that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me to be the best person that I can be? Aging is for gauging, is my priority. Eternity. Have a good Shabbos, and may we only have simchas and besuras tovas to share and grow in sweet, positive ways.